नमों विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्तादिशुतारिणे सिंस टुडे इज द appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we decided to discuss the last verse from his pranam mantra. His pranam mantra consists of four different verses. The last one has been written on the board and we will discuss that verse and its inherent purport. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. Matajis, Siddhanta Dhanta Harine. Namaha, obeisances. Te, unto you. Gauravani, teachings of Sri Chaitanya, Sri Murtaye, unto the personified, Dina of the fallen, Tarine, unto the deliverer, Rupa Anuga, the philosophy which follows the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Biruddha, against, Aposiddhanta, of unauthorized statements. Dhanta, the darkness. Harine, unto you who are removing. Translation of this verse. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Please repeat after me. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So, today is the Divine Appearance Day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the illustrious spiritual master of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in 1874 in Jagannath Puri. On this particular day, according to lunar calculation, the actual date was 6th February of 1874. He appeared in the afternoon at around 3:30. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared as a mercy of Sri Jagannath Dev in response to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's prayer to Lord Jagannath to provide him with a qualified and competent assistant to establish his mission. At that time, when Bhakti Vinod Thakur was propagating Krishna consciousness, the condition of this land of Bharatvarsha, the land of India, was very ominous, as it has been described here. Dhanta, the word, the expression Dhanta means the darkness. The land of India was in total darkness due to all kinds of aposiddhantas, the conclusions that were overcasting or covering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish Dharma. That is the business of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that is the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's coming to this material nature. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijam maham. when there is dharmasya glani, when there is a decline of religious principles and increase of adharma, irreligiosity or sinful activities, in order to re-establish dharma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. So, in the age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to establish dharma, and in order to do that, he started his Sankirtan movement, Jaggai Sankirtana Prayair, or Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are the two fathers of the Sankirtan movement. They came to establish this Sankirtan movement, the propagation of the holy name of the Lord, in order to re-establish dharma in this age. And that is how dharma is going to be established in this age, due to the propagation of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and due to the propagation of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared about 500 years ago, but within a very short time, actually within about 70 or 80 years' time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings started to become obscured due to the influence of these upper sampradayas. The word upper is negation, is a prefix that negates, and siddhanta, something that negates the siddhanta, that is upper siddhanta. And the sampradaya, the so-called sampradayas that negates the actual sampradaya, that is upper sampradaya. Now, this is what was happening. The Kali's effect is very treacherous. Kali is very treacherous. Karala vadana krudha. Kali is extremely treacherous and heinous. And Kali spreads his influence through treachery and quarrel. Kalishcha Kalaha Priya. So, Kali started to obscure or destroy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement through individuals, those who are actually apparently they were appearing to be the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what they were doing, they were introducing all kinds of practices that were against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. People recognized them as they were the followers, the genuine followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually they were Kali's agents. And if we go to the history, then we can see those who actually propounded or established these upper sampradayas, apparently they are very powerful devotees, very advanced devotees. That reminds me, His Holiness Suhatra Maharaj actually wrote a book on these upper sampradayas. And it's a very, very wonderful book that Maharaj wrote. And these upper sampradayas, they were actually pretending to be the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they were actually destroying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from within the movement. And they have been identified as Aul, Baul, Lara, Leri, Shai, Darbesh, Shokhibheki, Churadhari, Gaur Nagari, etc. And They were pretending to be Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, but what they were doing, they were simply introducing the activities that were against religious principles. Our dharma stands on four legs. What are those four legs? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So what they were promoting? They were promoting these four sinful activities. That was their business. They were justifying meat eating in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Massive fish eating. They were introducing illicit sex. They were introducing intoxications and gambling. So our dharma was being established in disguise of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. And that actually caused a total darkness in the religious scene in India. The situation was so bad that no gentleman actually wanted to identify himself as a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No gentleman would, because they thought that these are the abominable activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, so why should we identify ourselves with them, or why should we follow them? So at a time, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur appeared. Or it will be more appropriate to say that at a time like that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his eternal associate, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur started to re-establish the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was an extremely respectable person, not only an erudite scholar, but a very high-ranking government officer, hailing from a very aristocratic family in Bengal. So he was the perfect personality to do the job. And he was such a powerful personality, and he was so qualified that all the other religious groups, like the Christians who were very prominent at that time, and the Brahma Samaj, who were actually a quasi-Christian Hindu group, they were trying to get him. The Brahma Samaj is another thing, like that also will let us understand like what was the situation of the religious scenario in India at that time. At that time, many people, due to the British influence, were becoming westernized, very westernized. And they started to find all kinds of faults with the teachings of the Vedas or Hindu philosophy. And as a result of that, many Hindus were becoming Christians. So in order to stop that, so-called religious reformers, like Ram Mohan Roy and Rabindranath Tagore's grandfather, Rabindranath Thakur Tagore's grandfather, Prince Dwarkanath Thakur, they started a new system of religion which was based on Vedanta, impersonalistic Vedanta. So, and they were called Brahma Samaj, and they actually had a very nice, very prominent influence on the educated class of people, and many people were becoming Brahmas, especially westernized Indians, educated Indians. So this Brahma Samaj wanted to get Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and it was said that Bhakti Vinod Thakur was invited to speak in one of their very important assembly, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur started to speak on the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was the end of their endeavor to try to get Bhaktivinod Thakur within their fold. So, in this way, Bhaktivinod Thakur started to establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But many people wanted to have the proper proof, and the situation was so bleak at that time that there was no books like Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat or Bhakti Ratnakar available at that time. The books that were establishing the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Sri Sri Radha Madhava Sriman Mahaprabhu Sakhi Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Sri Sri Prahlad Nrisingha Dev Ki Jai. Jai Sri Sri Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. So, Bhaktivinod Thakur, after a great endeavor, found a handwritten copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's only about 150 years ago. You know, can you imagine? Chaitanya Charitamrita was not available. He, after a great endeavor, that also in Orissa, he found a copy of handwritten Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali. And Bhaktivinod Thakur started to publish that, print that, and he gave his own purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, known as the Amrita Prabaha Bhashya, the flow of the commentary of the flow of nectar, Amrita Prabaha Bhashya. And Chaitanya Bhagavat, these are the two books which were the authentic narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and teachings. So through them, and plus writing profusely, Bhaktivinod Thakur started to propagate the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, Bhaktivinod Thakur actually came to revive the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the penetrating the dark influence, or dispelling or destroying the dark influence of the upper siddhantas and upper sampradayas. But Bhaktivinod Thakur was a very high-ranking government officer, so he himself didn't have the time that was needed to properly establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Therefore, he prayed to Lord Jagannath. At that time, Bhaktivinod Thakur was the magistrate of Jagannath Puri, and he was the custodian also of the temple, Puri temple. So he had a very close link with Jagannath temple and of course with Lord Jagannath. And as a result of his prayer, Lord Jagannath sent this beautiful son, Bimala, who he named as Bimala Prasad. Now, it is actually also quite significant that he named him as Bimala Prasad. Directly, Bimala Prasad doesn't have a direct link with Krishna. Now, Bimala Devi is the expansion of Mahamaya, Durga Devi, through whom all the prasad of Jagannath is distributed. The prasad of Jagannath, after offering to Jagannath, it comes to Bimala Devi, and through who is the Annapurna, the giver of food to the material nature, she actually provides, Mahamaya actually provides with all the food for this world. Therefore, another name of Mahamaya is Annapurna. She is full with Anya, full with food. Now, this food is she is actually receiving from Lord Jagannath, and she is distributing to everyone. So that is why, since he received Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as the mercy of Lord Jagannath, he named him as Bimala Prasad. It is through Bimala Devi that Jagannath's prasad comes down. He was an extremely brilliant personality. I don't want to get into the details of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life, because I presume that most all of you know already. You have heard about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life and activities many times, so I won't repeat that. But briefly, to indicate his brilliant character and the wonderful upbringing due to a glorious Vaishnava father, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur grew up as a perfect devotee. At the age of 6, he received Nrisimha mantra from his father. Nrisimha Dev, who is the destroyer and a destroyer of all the impediments on the path of devotion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him Nrisimha mantra to be established in his heart, who would dispel and destroy all the impediments on the path of devotional service. He gave him the Kurma deity when he was only 8 years old to worship. Now Kurma Dev is the presiding deity of water, liquid. And rasa, bhakti rasa, is a liquid. So Kurma Dev, that Madhurjo Ujjala rasa, the most brilliant and most elevated mellow of Krishna Prem, in order to nurture that, Kurma Dev was established in his heart, and he was taught how to worship Kurma Dev. And then eventually, in the year 1900, when he was 26 years old, he was initiated by Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and who actually planted the seed of Krishna Prem in his heart. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, soon after his initiation, he came to Mayapur to chant 1 billion, that means 1,000,000,000 holy name of the Lord. And every day for about 9 to 10 years, he chanted 3 lakhs names of the Lord. Every day without fail. And Mayapur at that time was not like this. It was very different. To describe how Mayapur was at that time, from the river Ganges to Chaitanya Math, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was staying, there was no road. The whole place was actually the entire path, entire land was covered with shrubs and bushes. And one day, at that time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was performing the pastimes of being blind. And one day, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj came to Chaitanya Math, and he came alone. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, "How did you come through this forest path? There was no path, not even a forest path." So he asked, "How did you come?" And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said that, "Someone helped me." And so he insisted, "Who was that someone?" Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj wouldn't tell him. So finally, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could understand that Krishna actually led him there. And so he was staying in Chaitanya Math when there was nothing around here, maybe some distant Muslim villages, but that was about all. And he stayed here in a hut for years together to complete his vow of chanting 1 billion names of the Lord. And after that, he started his preaching work. At that time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was present, and so was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj left soon after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur started his preaching work. In 1914, Bhaktivinoda Thakur left, and in 1916, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj left. And in 1919, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted. In 1918, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's accepting sannyas, Tridandi sannyas, was another revolutionary act by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prior to him, generally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers did not accept sannyas. They used to accept Babaji, Bhek. They used to accept the white cloth of a Paramahamsa. They were commonly known as Babajis, following the tradition of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas order. And about his accepting sannyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that his mission was to defeat the individuals who were besmearing the reputation of the Goswamis, Paramahamsa followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were dressing up like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, but their activities were very, very abominable. And he described that situating himself in the Varnashram stage, he is going to carry the lotus feet of his spiritual master, who is situated on a transcendental platform of the Suddha Sattva. Sannyas, the saffron of sannyas, indicates the mode of goodness. But the whiteness of a Paramahamsa dress of a Babaji is significant to the Visuddha Sattva. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spiritual master, was situated in that platform. So he wanted to carry his lotus feet on that, placing himself on the sannyas order of Varnashram. And that is why he introduced the sannyas order in our line. And in this way, he actually started his mission of Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dhanta Harine. In order to dispel the darkness caused by the Sahajiyas and all kinds of Apasampradayas, he started his mission. We know how boldly he preached, and his ideal was Rupa Goswami's principle of Anashaktasya Vishayan Jatharham Upajunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Ucchate. Being totally detached from the material objects of sense enjoyment, anashaktasya vishayan jatharham upajunjata, accept whatever is necessary নির্বন্ধ কৃষ্ণ সম্বন্ধে, ইন রিলেশন টু কৃষ্ণ অ্যান্ড ইন রিলেশন টু প্রোপাগেটিং কৃষ্ণ কনশিয়াসনেস, অ্যাকসেপ্ট হোয়াট এভার ইজ নেসেসারি টু স্প্রেড কৃষ্ণ কনশিয়াসনেস, অ্যান্ড দ্যাট ইজ কল্ড যুক্ত বৈরাগ্য। So he accepted that principle, and we can see that he was so badly misunderstood that even his own brother turned against him. His own brother turned against him, and they had very, very unpleasant conflicts. Like, not only outside people, not only the upper sampradayas, not only some less informed people misunderstood him, but even Bhakti Vinod Thakur's very dear youngest son turned against him. He was saying that he is introducing something which is unbona fide. And the point is, I mean, generally their argument was, where is it in the scripture? Where do you find it in the scripture? But that is the thing about an acharya. Acharya, especially in this age, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, a bona fide acharya establishes some principles that are not against the scriptures. But one has to accept his conclusion and his arguments and his pointing out how they are bona fide. Like, one major conflict he had with his brother was the line that is of disciplic succession that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out. Like, he pointed out Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and then to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Then Bhakti Vinod Thakur to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And even before that, we can see Baladev Vidyabhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Like, they are not Diksha Parampara. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point was that Diksha is not the only thing. The most important thing is the carrying, the understanding. That Divya Gyan that is Hride Prakashita, that is revealed in the heart. We have to find out how that Divya Gyan, how it is flowing. And that is the real Sampradaya. Bhakti Vinod Thakur's apparent spiritual master was Bipin Bihari Goswami. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in loggerheads with him. I heard from one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers once that one day Bipin Bihari Goswami noticed that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't offer him obeisances. He just saw him and he just ignored him and walked away. So Bipin Bihari Goswami asked Bhakti Vinod Thakur, why your son doesn't offer me obeisances? So Bhakti Vinod Thakur answered, when he asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's reply was, will he be able to tolerate my obeisances? Like, it is said that if generally the custom is a superior doesn't offer obeisances to an inferior. And another such statement was when Bipin Bihari Goswami asked Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur replied that he has taken a vow not to come within 50 meters of a sahajiya. And He was an extremely powerful personality, extremely straightforward and bold. And as a result of that, he was badly misunderstood, even by some of his relatives. But we can see, like today, and that conflict is still going on. In Vrindavan, they challenge us that your sampradaya is not bona fide, and so on and so forth. One such person, when challenged me, I asked him, "Do you accept that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that Krishna consciousness would spread in every town and village?" He could not deny that. He said, "Yes." Then I said, "And through the parampara, through the disciplic succession, that prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is an apparently an impossible prediction, when that prediction comes true, is he in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or not?" The person was shut up. So, in this way we can see that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to establish the pure teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the line of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur started the revival and re-establishment of Krishna consciousness. Then came Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in between we see Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. It's very interesting to note. Like, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to revive Sri Chaitanya, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the personality who was going to do that. Now, in between there is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, following the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, Nirvandha Krishna Sammandhi Juktang Vairagam Uchyate, he had to accept all kinds of facilities. And people would think that these are mundane activities. These are mundane indulgence. The personality who is the Sakshad Vairagya Murtai, he is the personification of renunciation. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started his preaching mission, and then at that time he spread this movement throughout India, established 64 temples in different parts of India, doing massive preaching. But unfortunately we see that soon after his disappearance, his institution disintegrated. And that was an unfortunate happening, I would say. But that unfortunate happening has a very, very important bearing or important significance. That is, Prabhupada himself told us many a times that don't make the same mistake that my godbrothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. And that mistake was not to understand the importance of collective endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Prabhupada used to say that Guru Maharaj said that they should form a GBC and continue the mission, but they didn't understand that. Some of them thought, how a spiritual institution will run without a spiritual head. And disregarding Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction, they appointed a spiritual head, an acharya. And when the acharya fell down, the structure collapsed. Whatever was left of the structure collapsed. So the important thing is the collective management and the collective endeavor to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada understood that. Srila Prabhupada understood that, and that's why we can see that Srila Prabhupada is actually carrying Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's mission, and the manifestation of that mission is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is not that we are making this claim because I am a member of ISKCON and I am simply trying to glorify ISKCON, but this is how we are perceiving, in order to spread Krishna, effectively spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world in every town and village, an institution is absolutely essential. Just by some individual's endeavor, it's not going to happen. Such a massive mission will not be accomplished by some individual's independent endeavors. There's a need for a collective endeavor established through an institution by a personality like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who is actually carrying the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we are seeing oftentimes the institution of ISKCON is being attacked, but we at least, the sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada, should have it completely convinced in our heart that this is what is essential for the sake of propagating Krishna consciousness all over the world. And we have to protect that institution and continue to serve Mahaprabhu's mission through this institution. All glories to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Jai Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Does anybody have? Yes, Maharaj. Apparently, I said. Apparently. They appeared to be great devotees. No, I said apparently. Apparently means that they appeared to be like great devotees. No, they were not great devotees. But, you know, no. Yeah, hi. Yes.
One would say, thank you for a nice time.
Thank you.
But one could say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was saying in the beginning, 7-800 years after the margin practice of law, what is our hope after the problem? That's what happens. How can we possibly expect to stand in the crazy time when Kali is even more powerful?
Yeah. Yeah, our hope is ISKCON. Our hope is ISKCON. And the institution of ISKCON has two very important considerations or factors for its integrity. One is the position of the founder acharya, and the GBC body, the collective management, to execute the will of the founder acharya. So these two, ISKCON goes along with these two factors. Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya and the GBC as the ultimate managing authority. And if these three are in line or in place, then ISKCON will keep on expanding as it is happening. Like, in spite of so many onslaughts, ISKCON is not only alive, but ISKCON is expanding. And with time, by Mahaprabhu's mercy, this movement is going to spread more and more effectively, and time will tell. And those who are actually causing these all kinds of impediments to the progress of ISKCON and launching their onslaughts on ISKCON, with time we will see how they will fade out. And attacks are good in a way, because after an attack, when you conquer that attack, when you withstand that onslaught, you become stronger. And that's what is happening. ISKCON is being attacked, but ISKCON is overcoming those attacks and becoming stronger and stronger. Thank you. Yes, Maharaj.
I appreciate you offer some enlightenment on one point that I was hearing in a discussion in Vrindavan between Godwin, and that was that apparently in ISKCON, which we probably established, Srila Bhakti Siddhartha Saraswati Thakur is not so formally prominent as we would see if we visit in Gaudiya Matha. And I would like to hear.
Okay. Yeah, the question actually is that often we hear that in ISKCON, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not that prominent. So what is our counter argument to that? You see, as I mentioned, like the institution must have a head. If the institution doesn't have a head, it's not going to last. Right? And the head of the institution, ISKCON, is Srila Prabhupada. Right? And that's why Prabhupada is the founder Acharya, and that's why Prabhupada is Prabhupada, at whose lotus feet all the other Prabhus, all the other Acharyas will sit. But Srila Prabhupada is carrying Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart. And that is how we must see the position of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like say for example, when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established Gaudiya Math, his role was prominent over Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, although Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the personality who started this revival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Because the problem is, like say for example, say we say like in ISKCON, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the founder Acharya. Just in case, just we say that he is the preeminent spiritual personality in. Was that? Oh, I see. Right. The photographer. Yeah, photographers, please sit down and don't distract. So, if we did that, if Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the preeminent spiritual personality in ISKCON, then after Prabhupada's disappearance, many other followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur could have come and claimed that they are actually the real followers, or that they are the real savior of this movement. But the thing is that unfortunately that structure that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur created, they destroyed it. Now if we allow them to come and take over ISKCON, then they'll make the same mistake. Therefore, it is very important that we recognize Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of this movement, and he is the head of this movement. Now, Prabhupada is carrying Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart, and we are also worshipping Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as our most prominent spiritual personality in our heart. But when it comes to following the teachings, then it is Srila Prabhupada. Let us just go back. Now, if we say this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, so anybody who is following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be included. Now, fine. They can, all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers will naturally be included. But we have a condition, we actually have a GBC resolution, probably you remember, that anybody is invited to come, even though they are initiated in other sampradaya, etc., provided they accept Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya and the preeminent Shiksha Guru, and the GBC as the ultimate managing authority. So these factors must be very, very properly and prominently established. Otherwise, what will happen? they'll come and, you know, I mean, have a wonderful time destroying this movement. Yes, Jayapada Maharaj.
Was that the report came after
Arjuna's followers, what's going on? Yeah. Okay. Srila Jayapadaka Maharaj just added that the court case is still going on. The court case that was instituted by or started by some of Prabhupada's godbrothers about the properties and everything. That court case is still going on and the grand disciples are still fighting. They're carrying the legacy, fighting in the court. Right. Collective.
There is a move to create a federation of the different followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And perhaps the constitution that we presented at CBC and all the institutions with their comments and approval to create a kind of a confederation, which is a step. Prabhupada said we'd like to see in the future all the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and especially hope they would all accept Prabhupada's vision. The other way I wanted to say was that you said a few things about the theme of
ISKCON.
Another factor yesterday at Uttarakhand Bodhi, any institution, the topmost thing is the keeping the intensity involved in the culture. And I was thinking, you are a cultural minister. And culture doesn't only mean etiquette, dealings. And that's the kind of fiber, the loving dealings amongst the devotees, and that whole culture that we have. You still have all the institutional structure in place, but what's going to keep it united is the loving culture amongst the devotees.
I try my best, Maharaj. Yes.
Last day, people say that Prabhupada committed mistakes and Prabhupada contradicts himself. Personally speaking, was very much disturbing for me. As soon as I hear Bhajan Shri Prabhupada, my faith was diminished. I spoke with some senior devotees, they didn't think anything about it, it was quite normal. Yes, Prabhupada committed mistakes. Can you please tell me something about it?
The question is that the other day in the class someone mentioned that Prabhupada made mistakes and he felt and he contradicted himself. So he felt very disturbed after hearing that. So he wanted me to say something to that. You see, the main consideration is whether we accept Srila Prabhupada as a pure spiritual personality or not. Let us not go into the details of nitty-gritties of what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada made mistakes, Prabhupada contradicted himself. Like when it comes to contradiction, we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also contradicted himself. But does it mean that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ordinary person, full of defects? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, when he met Sachimata, he said, "I made a mistake by taking sannyas." And he even offered that, "If you want, I'll give up my sannyas and go back home to be with you, to take care of you." Let us see the total effect of what that personality has done. And the main point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made an impossible prediction. Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village all over the world. Now even 30 years back, 40 years back, even the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to think that it was just a poetic exaggeration, excepting individuals like Bhaktivinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But today, has that prediction come true? And the personality through whom that prediction has come through, can't we at least conclude that he is a personality who has been personally sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Let us look at it in that way. Those who want to find fault, they'll find faults. I mean, didn't people find fault with Krishna? Look at what Shishupal had to say about Krishna. Right. Now the question is, are we going to listen to individuals like Shishupal, or we are going to listen to the individuals like Arjuna and Uddhava? Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Gaur Premanande Hari.